Hallelujah. Can I hear a big, big, big amen?
Amen.
May please be seated in God's presence. What a mighty God we serve. It's always a great honor and privilege to be a part of God's work in God's house. I believe very strongly that CEM is our church, so we are back home. I'm not a guest, praise the name of Jesus. So we're just here to spend time together with the family here in Ghana. I want to thank God for Reverend Steve and his wife, Reverend Stan and his wife, Pastor Mike and his wife. Thank you for all the leaders, to all the leaders in the house. We're always excited to be here, and I believe very strongly that what God has in store for us will not pass us by in Jesus' name. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I appreciate you. It's nice to be sitting by your side. Hallelujah. And congratulations to the latest couple in town. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Welcome to the club. Praise God. Okay. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Let's take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to read from verses 11 to 16. Luke chapter 7. From verses 11 to 16. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bore him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Now, I want you to rise up on your feet this morning and go help me tell five people, help is on the way. I want you to help me declare to five people this morning, help is on the way. You have been praying, you have been waiting, but help is on the way. You have been crying, you have been wondering, but help is on the way. You have been waiting, you have been hoping, but help is on the way. You have been asking God, when will you answer me? God, when will you come through for me? But help is on the way. If there's somebody that is alive in the house this morning, I want you to lift up your voice and shout, help! Father, we thank you because there is power in your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot of your word will go unfulfilled. Father, thank you because the book is already open. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to gain understanding. Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl under the influence of my voice. I ask, oh God, that help will locate them this morning. Thank you for that man whose story is about to change. Thank you for that woman whose story is about to change. Thank you for that couple whose story is about to change. We give you all the glory and all the honor because we know that no one is permitted to live here the same. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the church of God shout a big amen. I can hear your amen. People of God, this morning, I know we all came to church with an expectation to hear a word from the Lord, but I'm sorry, I'm going to be disappointing you this morning because I don't have a word for everybody. God did not send me to speak to everybody, but this morning, God sent me to speak to somebody. There is somebody in this house this morning. You have been crying out for help. There is somebody in this house this morning, you have been looking up to God to send help into your life. You are the one that God sent me to this morning. I came all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, to tell that one person that help is on the way. If you are that person, can I hear you shout, help? Help is on the way. You have been praying, you have been fasting, you have been crying, you have been longing, you have been hoping. And all you have been saying is, God, when? God, how? But, oh, Maleke Shebalando Kabriandele Bashata, I'm happy to announce to you that God has finally heard your cry. And he sent me to tell you that help is on the way. You have been waiting, wait no more. You have been longing, long no more. You have been hoping, no more, because help has finally come. If you believe it, can I hear you shout, help? In our text today, we see the story of a woman. This woman was once a young girl, and then as a young girl, she was praying and hoping that someday she will get married. Not too long after that, she got married, and she invited everyone to come celebrate marriage with her, and people gathered to rejoice with her. People gathered to celebrate with her, because finally, she's now a married woman. And when she got married, she had dreams with her husband that they were going to give birth to children. But after a while, the children were not coming. They kept hoping. Then somewhere along the line, the woman got pregnant and gave birth to a baby boy. And they invited people once again. And people came to celebrate with them, because finally, this marriage has become fruitful. And now they have a boy. I don't want to believe that the plan to give birth to only one child, but now they had a boy. They were probably hoping that later on they will have another boy or another girl. But somewhere along the line, people gathered to rejoice with them when they were getting married. People gathered to rejoice with them when they gave birth to a child. They had dreams together. But while they were having a plan, the devil also has a plan. I wanted to know that just as you have a plan, the devil also has a plan. God has a plan for your life, but the devil also has a plan for your life. And I'm here to let you know that no plan of the devil will prevail in your life. In the name of Jesus, the word of God declares, I know the thought that I have towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I declare over your life that only the plan of God, only the thoughts of God will prevail in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout, help! Now they have a boy. They are excited. The marriage is going on fine. Everything seems to be moving on. And all of a sudden, the man died. Because the Bible says she was a widow. To be a widow means that the man died. What do you do when your help dies? The man dies, and now she's just alone with the baby. I want you to know that every time a woman or a man loses a spouse, it's a painful thing that no one should ever experience. But it's normal psychologically that when you lose one thing, you convert all your attention to whatever is left. So when she lost the husband, she gave attention to the boy. The boy became a hope for the future. She sees the man in the boy, and she sees the boy growing up to be a man, and then she attaches affection to this boy. But unknown to her, the devil is a bad devil. Everything that brings you joy makes the devil sad. Everything that makes you happy, the devil wants to touch it. But I stand by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I declare that every
every hand that is stretched against you shall be withered in the name of Jesus. Every voice that is speaking against you shall be silenced in the name of Jesus. If you let me shout, help! So the devil sees that this woman is attaching affection to the boy. The devil sees that she still has hope in the boy. And then the devil strikes and the boy dies. Listen to me, people of God. What do you do when you lose your future? You've got to understand, when you lose your parents, there is a name for it. You are called an orphan. When you lose a spouse, there is a name for it. You are called a widow or a widower. When you lose a child, there is no name for it, because it's not part of the plan of God for you to lose a child, because your child is your offspring. Your child is your future. I stand and I speak concerning somebody here today. Whatever you think you have lost, whatever you think has left your life, God sent me to tell you, help is on the way. Restoration is coming. You will laugh again. You will smile again. You will rejoice again. You will testify again. If you're that busy, can I hear you shout, help? So this woman now has lost an husband. She's not just lost an husband, but she's lost a child. And then one thing I don't know about you guys in Ghana, but when you lose a child, you don't go to the burial of your children. I don't know that in Ghana, but in Nigeria we don't do that. A man should not go to bury a boy. A woman should not go to bury a boy. When you lose children, you stay at home. Other people will go and bury, because it's not part of the plan of God for you to bury your children. Now, when this boy died, the Bible says that the woman, somebody said the woman, was going to the burial ground with them. She was so attached to what she has lost. She was crying. She was weeping as they were going to the burial ground. Because as far as she's concerned, this is all that I have. My husband is gone. And now my son is gone. What else do I have to live for? And then she was going. As far as she was concerned, the devil has done his worst. As far as she was concerned, that's the end of the story. But I'm ready to let you know, when you think it's over, God is just about to start. It's not the end, it's just a bend. It's not over until God says it's over. This woman was on her way to the burial ground. Then the Bible says that Jesus was coming on the other side. So when she was going out of the city, she had people with her. She had the guy in the casket. They were going to the burial ground. They were wearing black and black. They were mourning on the way to the burial ground. But on the other side, somebody say on the other side. I can't see on the other side.
On the other side, Jesus Christ was coming.
Praise the name of Jesus.
Hello, hello.
On the other side, Jesus was coming. But listen, listen. The woman was not coming alone. She was coming with mourners that were going to the burial ground with her. When Jesus was coming, Jesus was not coming alone. Jesus was coming with his disciples, men and women that have seen God move in ways that people have never seen before. So death was coming from the city, and life was coming into the city. Mourning was coming out of the city, but joy was coming into the city. Tears and pain and sorrow was coming from outside the city, but joy and peace and gladness was going into the city. Listen to me. Oh my God. When she was leaving the house, oh my God. Are you ready?
Yeah.
When she was leaving the house, she left the house with one intention: go bury your son. But unknown to her, as she was going with one intention to go bury her son, help
was on the way. She left over thinking it's all over, but she did not know that while she was leaving the house, just say, let me just go and bury this boy because it's all over. Help is on the way. God sent me to tell you, you thought you lost that business. No, help is on the way. You thought you lost that business. Help is on the way. You thought your health is gone and you are going to degenerate. They told you it's stage one cancer and you are expecting stage two, stage three, but God sent me to tell you, you are going into remission. It's not going to be stage two, but from stage one, they will check you and there will be cancer no more. If you're that person, can I hear amen? I was ministering at a church and I was talking to them about the fact that the evidence can be wrong. When they said that Joseph was dead, they showed the father the clothes that was soaked in blood and they said Joseph is dead, but the same Joseph they said was dead was alive. The evidence can be wrong. Even if there is an evidence that you have lost that baby, even if there is an evidence that you have lost that business, even if there is an evidence that you have lost that relationship, the evidence can be wrong. A young lady walked up to me after the service. He said, Pastor, you said the evidence can be wrong. I'm 4 months pregnant, but I've been seeing blood for a while, and the doctor told me that the baby is dead. I have an appointment on Tuesday for evacuation for them to remove the baby, but I believe what you have said, that the evidence is wrong. Can you agree with me? I held hands with her, I prayed with her, and I said, Lord, prove yourself. When she got to the hospital on Tuesday for evacuation, another doctor came in and said, please, can we run another test? By the time they ran another test, the baby was alive, the baby was kicking, because when you think all is over, help is on the way. Just last week Sunday, we got a testimony in church, a marriage that has ended for 20 years. They've gone into separation, everything settled, 20 years. All of a sudden, what they thought was over, God moves supernaturally. Naturally, the child that was given the testimony made a statement, we never saw it coming. After 20 years of separation, they came back again. I stand by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I stand upon the authority of the call of God upon my life, and I declare over everyone, help is on the way. So she left home, my God, expecting to go for burial, but help is on the way. Listen to me. As they were going and mourning, they finally met at the gate. Somebody said the gate, the gate, the gate, the gate. They met at the gate. You've got to understand, when darkness meets with light, darkness has got to bow, because in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. When power jams power, the lesser power must bow. When they met at the gate, death was coming and life was coming. He already told us, I am the resurrection and the life. Your business is not dead. Your finance is not dead. Your health is not dead. Your career is not dead, because help has come. If you believe me, shout help! Man of God, they met at the gate. There is something about the gate. Oh, you see, the Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The Bible says that the elders will sit at the gates so that they can discuss. The Bible says, that when Jacob was sleeping, he put a stone as his pillow, and he had a vision, and he woke up and he said, God was here, and I did not know, for this is the gate of heaven. So the gate is a place of negotiation. The gate is a place of transfer. The gate is a place of decision. And I'm here to let you know, when we meet at the gate, that's why God said, your seed, your seed will fight and conquer at the gate. Shabalondo. So they came to the gate. Yakorian delebe, darkness met with light at the gate. Now listen to me. Let me digress a little to help you understand this. You need to understand, when we say help is on the way, sometimes, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Sometimes things will get worse before they get better. And that's where many of us miss it. Sometimes, when you cry for help, things will what? Get worse before they get better. Let me prove that to you. In Mark chapter 5, go with me in your mind. We can't go there because of time. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was going with his disciples, and here comes a man by the name of Jairus. And Jairus comes to Jesus and he said, excuse me, sir, my daughter is sick. And I want you to come to my house and pray for my daughter. Let me digress again, second digression. The man was the one that went to seek for help. It's normally the women that takes the children to school. It's normally the women that take the children to the hospital. It's normally the women that run all around, and the men separate themselves as if they are not the one that holds the children. You've got to understand that a real man will do school run. A real man will beat the children. A real man will go to PTA meeting. A real man will do all that needs to be done to ensure that the children are okay. Don't leave the work for your wife alone. She's not a single mother. She's not a single mother. So Jesus goes on, based on the invitation, come to my house. My son, my daughter is sick. But guess what? Oh, Jesus, as they were going to the house of Jairus, the Bible says there was a woman, somebody say woman, that had an issue of blood for 12 years. I don't know what your issue is, but whatever your issue is, there is a God that has the ability to take care of the issues of your life. But listen to me, are you ready? Are you sure? The woman had an issue of blood for how many years? 12 years. Jairus' daughter was how many years? 12 years. So the very year that the daughter of Jairus was born, a woman started a monthly period and it never ended. The child was growing, and as the child was growing, that woman's health was going down. As the child was growing, that woman's wealth was going down. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, but she grew to become 12 years old. But that woman's problem was 12 years old, but she went down in 12 years. There is something about 12. 12. Somebody say 12. 12 years old problem. 12 years old girl. 12 disciples. 12 tribes of Israel. 12 gates of heaven. 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem. 12 plus 12. 24 elders. 12 months in a year. There is something about 12. And I know that somebody is here by virtue of the anointing that is being released here in the next 12 months. What is a problem today will have become a testimony. I say, what is a problem today will have become a testimony, because help is on the way. So he said, Jesus, come to my house. Listen to people of God. Are you ready for this? Are you sure? Let's go deeper. Are you ready? Jairus had faith that if Jesus can come to his house, the miracle will happen. In Luke chapter 7, we started reading from verse 11. But from verse 1 to 10, the Bible tells us the story of a centurion. The centurion says, my servant is sick. He did not invite Jesus to his house. Jesus invited himself. Jesus said, your servant is sick. Let's go and pray. The guy said, no, you don't need to go. From verse 1 to 10 of Luke 7. He said, you are a man of authority. I'm also a man of authority. When I speak, people answer. If I speak to my servant, go, they go. Come, they come. You are in charge of every demon and every demon on earth. If you tell devil stop, he has to stop. Just speak the word. Somebody's faith says, speak the word. Somebody's faith says, come to my house. But there is a third dimension. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard that Jesus was passing by, she said, I know that he does not know that I exist. So he may not speak a word concerning my situation. I know that I don't have direct access to him. So he may not come to my house. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made. Oh, listen to me, people of God. If God does not touch you, touch God. Stretch out your hands. If God does not touch you, touch God. Don't wait for pastor to touch you. Don't wait for a prophet to call your name or call your phone number. Don't wait for ministers to visit your house. If you have faith, you can stretch out your faith in worship. You can stretch out your faith in crying out, in prayers. And if God does not touch you, you can touch God. So the woman stretched through the crowd, tired, frail, weak, emaciated. She pressed. All she was interested in is if I can just touch. The Bible says the very minute she touched Jesus, virtue flowed out of Jesus, and instantly she was healed. But listen to me, a healing caused a delay in the journey. Karabo Shandeleya. By virtue of her healing, Jesus said, who touched me? They started investigating. He said, what is touching? He said, no, this one is a touch of faith. There is a touch and there is a touch. This is a different kind of touch. Who touched me? Can God feel your touch? And when they finally settled the case, Jesus Christ said, your faith, not my anointing, your faith, not my virtue, your faith has made you whole. You know why? I didn't even know you existed, but by faith you touched me. What do you do if you are Jairus? When Jairus came to Jesus, the daughter was sick. But now, by virtue of this woman and the delay that she caused, the sick child is now dead. What do you do when your situation gets worse in the hand of God? What do you do when after you have invited him to help you, things get worse? What do you do when instead of things getting better, the more you pray, the more the trouble, the more the fasting, the more the crisis, the more you sow, the more the crisis? What do you do when someone seemed to have taken your spotlight and kept you in the dark? What do you do when you believe it's your turn and somebody else is chosen? What do you do when, because of somebody's testimony, yours has to be delayed? If you were Jairus, will you rejoice with the woman with the issue of blood? What do you do if at the age of 38, you are believing God for a husband, and there is a brother you have been eyeing, and he's eyeing somebody else, and now you are in church, the brother you are eyeing is getting married to somebody else? Will you rejoice with them? What do you do if you got married as a virgin and 6 years later you ain't got no baby, but your roommate on campus that has had 7 abortions got married 2 years ago. Now she had one child after 1 year. 2 weeks ago, she gave birth to twins. When help is on the way, sometimes things get worse before they get better. When Jesus was invited, even though the child was sick and died, that's not the end of the story. Because whatever you hand over to Jesus, no matter what happens, he's going to make it good. Because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Whatever happens in the middle does not stop what he plans to do. Let me digress again. When Jairus left home to go seek help from Jesus, he left a sick child in the hand of the mother. By the time Jairus came back, he met a dead child in the hand of the mother. Let me talk to women for a while. Kabrute bo shalabande. What happens to things that are handed over to you? Do they die in your hands, or do they flourish in your hands? Your husband gave you money to start business. Where is the money now? Your husband handed over a department for you to handle. How far with the department? Your husband gave you children, 3 children. I said, take care of these children. And I'm traveling. I'll be back next month. I'm going offshore. And he comes back. Everybody's sick. Everybody's disheveled. What happens to what is left in your hand? A sick child was left with him, but a dead child was met. What was left with her died in her hands. But let me tell you something, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever you think is dead, I'm telling you, there is enough power in God, there is enough unction in God to bring dead things back to life. So when Jesus shows up in the house, the Bible says that they were weeping and wailing, and Jesus Christ came and said, this girl is not dead, she is sleeping. And they started laughing. You know about that in Ghana, because Ghana and Cameroon and South Africa is the headquarter of wailers and mourners. Even in Ghana, it's a business. You do posters, you do handbills, you do social media adverts to invite and employ people to come and mourn. They are criers. Because the question is, when Jesus got there, they were crying. When Jesus said the girl is not dead, she's asleep, they started laughing. How do you move from tears to laughter in an instant? Except it is fake. Then Jesus sends everybody away. You've got to understand that there are realms you get to in life where everybody cannot go with you. You've got to choose who goes to the next level with you. Some of the people that betrayed you, some of the people that disappointed you, some of the people that left you, they left because they are not qualified for the next level that God is preparing for you. People of God, Jesus sends people away so that only people of faith that believe in impossibilities become impossible will enter. And Jesus said, Talita kumi, damsel, arise. And the girl came back to life. So I've proven to you that sometimes things will get worse before they get better. So let's go back to our story. So this woman is on the way to the burial ground. Darkness out of the city, light coming into the city. But listen and listen well. There are two other sets of people that we have not talked about. First set of people, when they left home for the burial ground, there were people that did not go to the burial ground with them. They were at home cooking. They were at home waiting to entertain people. It's amazing how somebody dies and people are still eating. You claim to be mourning, but cows are being slaughtered. Bags of rice, kenke, washi, banku and okra. Everything is going, and you claim to be mourning, and food is going here. How can you be mourning and munching? It's a contradiction. You claim you are mourning, and the people that have lost their family will still lose money feeding you. They have lost a father. They will still lose money feeding you. All of you gather. You didn't bring any money to help them. Yet you are eating cows slaughtered. There were people at home cooking, waiting for them to return from the grave so that they can continue to mourn and say, sorry, ma'am. Sorry, sorry. White people are eating. Have you served uncle? Have you served auntie? What of the Kumasi table? Tema table? Takoradi table? Have you served there? Bogatanga table? Accra table? Northern region? Pram Pram table? Have you served them from Dodowa? Everybody has table. Hey, table! And you are supposed to be mourning. Tables. But there's another set of people. I've been a pastor now about 30 years. I've seen all kinds of stuff. Before you get to the burial ground, there are people that got there very early in the morning. Guess what? They are digging the grave. They are getting things ready. And when we get there as officiating ministers, we don't even know where the burial ground is. This is the place. This is the one. You see all kinds of holes. And they say, this is your own hole. Where you have come to officiate. Hello, somebody. And then they design it. The dead body is not aware of the number of tiles and the price of tiles. But while they are spending money at home to feed people, they are spending money in the grave to cover a corpse. People are hungry alive. The dead body is carrying money to the grave. The casket is expensive. And you know, Ghana, you guys are wonderful. You have all kinds of caskets. You have aeroplane caskets. You have three-story building, duplex, private jet casket, fish casket, banku casket. They are the grave, digging the ground, waiting for the dead body. I stand and I declare, everyone in your future digging a grave, waiting to bury you, everyone in your future digging a pit, waiting to bury you, God will disappoint them. Because you will not arrive at the grave. You will not be buried. Your business will not be buried. Your marriage will not be buried. Your health will not be buried. Your destiny will not be buried. Because help is on the way. Let me close. So Jesus sees the woman and is moved with compassion, because compassion is the womb of the miraculous. You can't pray for people you are not compassionate about. You can't bless people you are not compassionate about. When compassion flowed from Jesus, Jesus stopped the procession of death. That's why he sent me to tell you, you have been proceeding on a downward spiral. You have been proceeding into depression, into hopelessness, and into despair. But I came all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, to tell you, you are going down no more, because help is on the way. And after today, there is a turnaround coming into your business. There is a turnaround coming into your career. There is a turnaround coming into your health. What you thought is dead is not dead. So Jesus stops the procession. Halabosh Kebriya now, man of God. The Bible says, and Jesus laid his hands on the casket and said, young man, rise up. Jesus laid his hand on the casket and said, young man, rise up. And the boy that was dead felt the touch of God from the depth of the earth, heard the voice of God. There is something about God's touch. It cannot be explained. The pastor does not need to touch you, but when you are in an atmosphere filled with the glory and the presence of God, you can feel the touch of God. You can't explain it to anybody, but you know God touched me. Somebody is here today. He sent me to tell you that help is on the way. And right now, whatever that situation is, receive the touch of God. Receive the touch of God. May the Lord touch your mind. May the Lord touch your marriage. May the Lord touch your health. May the Lord touch your business. May the Lord touch your career. May the Lord touch your children. May the Lord touch everything that needs a touch. In the name of Jesus, hear the word of God. Dry bones, live again. Dead businesses, rise again. Troubled marriage, blossom again. Health situation, shine again. In the name of Jesus, I speak life to every home. I speak life to every womb. I speak life to every sick body. I speak life to every ministry. I speak life to every career. I speak life to every business. In the name of Jesus, receive life. Thank you, Jesus. We're closing now. Guess what? When they met at the gate, the miracle happened at the gate. Two people were disappointed. Those at the burial ground were disappointed. Why? They waited and waited and waited. The corpse never arrived. They dug the grave, waiting for that boy to go there. The boy did not get there. Everyone waiting for you. waiting to see you cry, waiting to see you mourn, waiting to see you in shame, waiting to see you sick, waiting to see you die, waiting to see you bury your children. They will wait in vain. They were disappointed. God is disappointing some people. I can tell you stories upon stories upon stories. But they will be disappointed. A young man just a few weeks ago came to give a testimony. He was a Muslim and we had to change his name. I gave him a new name on Sunday morning. Our weekly prison evangelism team had gone to the prison. And they were telling them, as we've done that for 11 years now, we go to prison every Sunday. Prison, hotel, brothels, hospitals, every Sunday. 11 years now. So they went there and they said, there is an anointing upon this ministry that everyone will speak to. You don't, by the time we come back next week Sunday, you will not be here. And this Muslim boy looked at them, said, you people will just be talking anyhow. You pastors will just be promising what you cannot deliver. How can you come to prison and be telling us that we will not be here next week? Do you know who we are? Me, I'm a criminal. What I have done, I can never be free. And the evangelist looked at him and said, I declare to you that by next week Sunday, you will not be here. If God is God, let him prove himself. By Wednesday, everybody was out of that place except two of them. The Muslim boy and another Christian. So when the two of them were alone on Wednesday, the Muslim boy now went to the Christian and said, hey, see, the thing that man said, everybody has gone. Only me and you left. At least me, I know that I did not believe him. But you, you were saying amen. How come you are still here with me? And the Christian told him, I believe God. My own will come. On Thursday, the guy that put the Christian in prison came to the prison by 10 a.m. in the morning and told the police, I'm not doing case anymore. I want to withdraw the case. They say, well, if you withdraw, we have to bail him. He said, I will bail him. They said, the man that has the case now, the man that put him in prison stayed in the prison from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. paid for his bail and brought him out. Only the Muslim was left. By Thursday night, he said, I knelt down and I prayed. God, I'm sorry for what I said about those people. But if you are truly alive and you can bring me out of this place, I'm changing from Muslim to Christian. And I will serve you forever. On Friday, they came and called him Musiliu. Yeah. They said, well, you can go. He said, what? He said, well, case dismissed. The evidence against you is missing. There's no fire, no evidence. And nobody can come up with any evidence of the crime that you committed. Shalabobobobobo sendele. Rekoba shandele. Listening and listening well. The guy came to church on Sunday morning, gave his life to Christ. I changed his name and gave him a Christian name. The second set of people that were disappointed were those that were at home. They were at home cooking, waiting for you to come back home crying. Come back home empty, without your baby, without your miracle. But all of a sudden, they had a sound of rejoicing. They had people dancing and rejoicing. People were dancing and they started coming out from the kitchen. They started coming out from the cook room. I said, what's happening? And they saw from afar the woman that was supposed to be mourning. They saw her dancing. The boy that was supposed to be dead, they saw him dancing from afar. The more they look, the closer they came. The more they look, the closer they came. What they saw from afar came home to meet with them. The boy was alive. The mother was rejoicing. I stand and I declare, they have been looking at you from afar, but you are coming home. Your miracle is on the way. Your testimony is on the way. Your breakthrough is on the way. In the name of Jesus, rise up on your feet. Lift up your hands to heaven. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Open your mouth. Pray, 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 pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Lift up your voice. Help. 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 Lift up your voice. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let the river flow. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries to the Father. Open your mouth. Pray. Pray. Help. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh God. People of God, Jesus. Man of God, can I have the anointing oil, please? I need to anoint. I want you to stretch forth your hands to your left and to your right. Hold on to somebody. And let's begin to pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. Every impossibility, pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, help my brother. Lord, help my sister. All over this place, pray in the Holy Ghost. All over this place, all over this auditorium, in the galleries, on the internet, those of you watching us on the internet, those of you watching on Facebook live streaming, wherever you are, pray in the Holy Ghost. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Hear my cry, oh God. Attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Now, remove your hand. Lay your hands upon your head and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, touch my life. Lord, touch every life. Touch every situation. Receive the touch of God. Receive the touch of God. Concerning that marriage, concerning that business, concerning that health situation, be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive fresh anointing in the name of Jesus over your children, over your grandchildren. Help! The hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.